السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في الكتاب الحميد والفرقان المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: قد أفلح المؤمنون، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. Respected elders, brothers and dear friends in Islam, as we aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from amongst all His creation, has made Hazrat Insan Khalifatul Ard, the vicegerent on earth, the best of creation, which we know as Ashraful Makhluqat. And for this creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a special abode for him, and that is in the hereafter, which is known as Jannah or Paradise. But yes, there's a condition to it, that despite being the best of creation, there are rules and regulations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves insan, and we're not going into the different ahadith. In simple, He loves us 70 times more than what a mother loves her own child. Now, if you love someone, you want that particular child or that person you love to be happy and to be successful. And this is what Allah wants from me and you. And in order to be happy and successful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid certain rules and regulations. You follow these rules, regulations, and if Allah loves you, He's not going to make them difficult. He's going to make it easy. It's fitrati, the natural laws of a human being. Follow these rules, and inshallah, then you will gain Jannah. But what is happening right now, that man, or should we rather say Muslims, we suffer from a complex. And we compromise our deen to such an extent that we use deen as a second option, a last resort. We will try every other avenue. We will want to follow every other law. We will want to follow every other teaching. We as Muslims will doubt our own Quran and Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with baseless arguments. And then when we fail totally, now we realize and we come towards Deen-e-Islam. But that too, we use it for our own gain and for our own benefit. I'll give you one example. How many people, I'm not saying don't do it, but our probably 80% of our lives are contrary to Sharia. But let it be somebody close to us leaves this world now when it is time to distribute the inheritance, and somewhat there's a shortfall in accordance to the Shar'i calculation, then all of a sudden, I want my Shar'i right. But 80% of your life, you have actually compromised your Shar'i right. But well, because you are being short-counted here, you want your Shar'i right. So what we're saying, sometimes we use deen for our own gain.
Deen is not for my gain, it's not for your gain. Deen is for the pleasure of Allah. Simple. Now, the moment we start compromising our deen, we'll never find peace. Nothing will move smoothly. Man will be in turmoil. There will be widespread bloodshed. Various ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing the companions. And he says, I fear five traits if it befalls upon my ummah. They will suffer the consequences. What? One of them. When we will not rule in accordance to the Quran and Sunnah. If the Quran and Sunnah is not the constitution, then await bloodshed and civil war. Today you see. Let me give you a beautiful incident. And probably from this, we can take lessons. You see, man loves to inspire and be inspired. It's not just storytelling. The Quran is filled with stories. Qawm Aad, Qawm Thamud, Bibi Maryam, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Beautiful incidents. It's not just storytelling. There's a reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is the kitab filled with hidayah. Learn. Be inspired from what you're reading. Put it into practice. Those incidents which relate to azab and so forth. Learn. Put a stop to that type of actions in our lives. There was a man by the name of Abu Ali. Shaqiq ibn Ibrahim ibn Azal al-Balkhi. He hailed from a place known as Khurasan. Once, whilst on his travel, businessman, he went to Turkestan and he saw a temple which was filled with idols. Looking at the temple, he saw one mushrik, idol worshipper, crying and pleading in front of one of the idols. In simple, Shaqiq Balkhi said to him, what a fool you are. No harm, no benefit from that particular stone. Why don't you turn to the one and only, the ever-living, the everlasting, Allah, and plead and beg from Him? This idol worshipper turns around and he says to him, if you got so much faith in that ever-living and everlasting Lord of yours, then why did you have to come to Turkestan to earn your living? Will he not send it to you in your own place? Shaqiq Balkhi rahimahumullah ta'ala says, this was the first thing that made me realize the greatness of Allah. He says he decided then that to return to Balkh, to his place in Khurasan. He says, whilst I was traveling, a Zoroastrian, a fire worshipper, somewhat joined up with me. And he asked me, oh Shaqiq, what is this travel of yours all about? You know, today when you travel, the first thing you'll ask, business or pleasure? So he says, business. So the fire worshipper tells him that it is your belief that your sustenance has been already ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you're going to get, you will get. So if you're going to travel and it's not meant for you, you can travel from now until doomsday, you will never get it. And if it's meant for you to get it, you don't even have to travel. You sit at home, you'll get it. This is the second point that was towards the changing of his life. Finally, he got to Balkh. People welcomed him. Great businessman. Very generous, honest businessman as well. People were happy to see him. In the interim, the prince of that time of Balkh, by the name of Ali ibn Isa, he was fond of hunting. He had a pack of hunting dogs, and one of the dogs got missing. So somebody went to the prince and said, "The neighbor of Shaqiq Balkhi took your dog." Immediately he was arrested, the neighbor, and he was being punished. So the neighbor calls out for Shaqiq al-Balkhi and says, "Please come intercede on behalf of me. I'm being punished for no reason. I'm not guilty of any crime. I did not steal any dog." So Shaqiq al-Balkhi comes to the prince. He says, "Please set him free. In 3 days I will get your dog back." He doesn't know how. He just said to give his, you know, some peace to his neighbor and to set him free. This is what he gave his word to the prince. He turns to Allah, Shaqiq Balkhi. He says, "Ya Allah, I gave my word. I don't even know about the whereabouts of this dog. How am I going to get it back?" On the third day, somebody captures a dog. They see a stray dog. And he decides that this particular man, Shaqiq Balkhi, is a generous man. Maybe I need money. Let me take this dog, give it to him. He'll probably give me some money. Precisely, it happens. Shaqiq Balkhi turns to Allah. He says, "Oh Allah, I never knew that you will answer my prayer." And he takes the dog, and his word is now honored. He gives it to the prince. One more incident. Now remember, how many incidents? 3 incidents. These are all signs. Turn to Allah. Every day we are seeing signs, but yet we're not pondering over them. We are being given those signs, apparent signs. Turn to Allah. The more we're getting the signs, the more we're turning away from Allah. All of a sudden, famine hits Balkh. People are starving. People are dying of hunger. People are looting from one another. Shaqiq Balkhi sees somebody, a slave, and he's smiling away. Shaqiq Balkhi could not tolerate this. He goes to the slave. He says, "Look at the condition of everyone here. Everybody is dying. They're sad. There's no happiness. And you still have this audacity to laugh and smile under these circumstances?" So the slave says, "Why should I cry?" He says, "People are hungry." He says, "Well, my master in one of the villages, he's got enough grain. He's got enough wheat, barley. He will never let me go hungry. So why should I be concerned?" Shaqiq Balkhi says, "Wallahi, that was the thing that really, the final nail to make me realize, if this slave got so much faith in his master, Allah is our provider, why should we not have faith in the Razik, the one that sustains and provides?" And that changed my life. Subhanallah, he became one of the greatest students of Ibrahim ibn Adham. He had 1,700 teachers. He had camels that were laden with books of ilm. He became one of the greatest of scholars and saints of his time. One day, undertaking this journey for Hajj, he passed through Baghdad. And as he was approaching Baghdad, news got to the king of Baghdad at that time, and many of us heard of him, Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid sends his men and he says, "Go summon Sheikh Shaqiq Balkhi to my chambers." Sheikh Shaqiq, he came and he presented himself in front of King Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid says to this great saint, "I believe you, Shaqiq al-Balkhi, and you're a great saint." Shaqiq al-Balkhi says, "I am Shaqiq, but I'm no saint. Today when somebody tells you by your, calls you by your name, brother so-and-so, no, I'm Hazrat so-and-so. Today the titles we give, Alhamdulillah, Hazrat, Sheikh, Al-Hajj, Qari, Mufti, this, the amount of titles we get, subhanallah, that we're not even bothered of the name that comes after that. He says, I'm no saint. I'm just Shafiq al-Balqi. Harun al-Rashid says, part with some advices. Listen very carefully, brothers. Give me some advice. Shafiq al-Balqi says, and he knows, King Harun al-Rashid, mighty king. Once he's sitting with his wife on the balcony, and the clouds are above, but no rain. It's just clouds. He smiles and he looks above, and he tells his wife, you see this cloud? Maybe yeah, he doesn't want to let the rain, he doesn't want to rain here. But no matter wherever this cloud goes, wherever it rains, it's still in my empire. That's what a vast empire Harun al-Rashid had. Shaqiq Balqi says to the king, the position Allah has entrusted you with, you are sitting on the chair of the truthful, and that is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. Manifest this quality of truthfulness. Always be truthful. Allah has entrusted you on the seat of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala to discriminate between right and wrong, between halal and haram. Number three, you're sitting on that particular seat of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who had the qualities of modesty and generosity. Manifest those qualities. And you're sitting on the seat of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu with knowledge and justice. Have sufficient knowledge and be just. What a beautiful piece of advice. This is not only for kings, it's for every single one that are seated here. We all got some positions. Maybe at work we're under 3-4 bosses, whatever it might be. But at home, I'm the father. I'm the head. I must implement truthfulness. I must be the one that from me should emit justice. From me should come about discrimination and be able to tell those under me what is right, what is wrong. All this, each one has to somewhat imbibe these unique qualities in us. When Shaqiq Balqi finished, Harun al-Rashid says, continue. I need more advices. He says, Allah has built a home in the hereafter which is known as hellfire or jahannam. And Allah has made you one of the keepers of the gates of jahannam to see to it that none under you should enter jahannam. And how? He has given you three things. The Baytul Mal, wealth, the whip, and number three, the sword. If anybody comes to you who is in need, do not turn him away. One. The whip, anyone breaks the laws of Sharia, use it. And the sword, whoever kills unjustly, and if the murdered family does not forgive, then you have to be beheaded. Today you look at all three. The Baytul Mal. It's a bit sensitive. Probably I'm not going to go into detail because I need time. Then after clarifying, you will understand. Today we Muslims are the most charitable people in this world right now. But believe me, the charity that we're giving, Allah knows how much is going to the genuine places. Those that genuinely need are not getting it because they don't have names. They don't have status. There's a lot of red tape. It is who we know. And people that are not deserving are getting it. And this is the truth. Majority of the cases. As far as the whoop is concerned, no. Sharia we overlook. We compromise. Then we say hikmat. Today we compromise our deen with the non-Muslim leaders, and all of a sudden we use the term hikmat. There's no hikmat, we're compromising. If you want to join the leaders of the disbelievers, it's not to compromise. Portray Islam in its true sense. Do not compromise your deen. We're compromising our deen and prepared to follow their rules and regulations. Nonetheless, Harun al-Rashid says to Shaqiq Balkhi, continue. Shaqiq Balkhi says, remember, being the king, you are the fountain. All those under you, your ministers, your advisors, they are all the streams that run off you. If that particular spring is contaminated, that particular channel's streams will be contaminated. If that particular spring is pure, crystal and clean, then those under, those streams from which that water will flow, will be clean, pure and crystal. So you have to be now upright. What beautiful advice. He says, oh Shafiq, continue. He continues and he says, you in the desert, and probably you know you're about to die. There's no provisions, there's no sign of any water, you're thirsty. Your lips, your mouth is parched, it's cracking. You will value a drop of water. And all of a sudden somebody comes to you with a glass of water. And you will say to him, please give it to me. And that person will say to you, O king, how much you prepared to pay for this glass of water? What will you say? The king says, I will tell him, name your price. Ask those that are sitting with more than 6 zeros in their accounts, and let them have one problem, whether it's the heart or cancer, and they will say to the doctor, do whatever you have to, money is of no this thing. You tell me, it's just that you want to get better. Harun al-Rashid says this. Shaqiq then says, that person will tell you, give me half your kingdom, only then will I give you that glass of water. Harun al-Rashid says, I'm prepared to give him half my kingdom for a glass of water. He says, okay, you have given half the kingdom for one glass of water. Now that you have drank the water, you cannot pass urine. You call it in Arabic, Habsul Bawl, where you cannot pass urine. And that too is detrimental, you can die. Now, the same person says, you're going to die. But in order for you to be relieved of the sickness and to pass urine, I've got the so-called medication here. Do you want it, O king? The king says, yes, I want it. That man will say, how much you prepared to pay for it? The king says, name your price. As long as I'm alive, that man will say, give me your other half of your kingdom. Harun al-Rashid says, I will give it. Shaqiq Balkhi says to him, then in that case, this kingdom that you have, this empire you have, you have attached the value of your kingdom to one glass of water. Only one glass of water. So why is it that you are soaked in the love of this kingdom and empire of yours? Is it not a lesson for me and you? That what is this dunya? Temporary. I'm not saying don't work, we have to work. But we're doing it to such an extent that it is harming yourself as individuals, our health. It is harming our family. There is no communication between husband and wife. Because of this mighty empires we have, there's no relationship between parent and child. We do not even know our own children. How many a time you will see a father with his children and you ask the father, oh, that's your son. How old is he? Oh, son, how old are you? You don't even know how old your son is. What grade is he? Beti, what standard or what grade are you in? We don't even know. And we parents. If you don't know their age, you don't know what they study, then how can you call yourself a father? How can you call yourself a mother? What is the sense of this dunya? What is your responsibility to nurture these children? To give them the best of upbringing. Not just by love. And today this is the thing that is destroying our children. Because we suffer from this guilt. And we know we are guilty. So what we do to compensate? We buy love. We will give them the most luxurious of cars. We will give them bank balances, big accounts with their own credit cards. You do not realize you are actually paving the way of destruction for them. They don't want that. They want touch, communication, feelings. So with this in mind, this deen is so beautiful. Follow it. You will be successful. You will be at ease. You will be at peace. No matter what you see around you, Allah will create that peace in you. Allah's sakina will be sent upon us. I will conclude. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sitting with the Sahaba, on the ground he draws a long line, straight line, and on across it, short lines. And he addresses and he's pointing to the long line. Man salaka bi wasala ila Allah. Whoever treads on this will reach Allah. And he points at the short lines that are crossed. He says, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمُ السُّبُلِ. Do not divert, for diverting, it's very difficult to come back on the straight path. This is it. Let us not compromise. We have the beautiful deen. We have the solution and answer to every problem. Hold on to it. You will never get any better solution or answer than the Quran and the Sharia, and that is Deen Islam. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to realize how fortunate we are. Make us amongst the true mu'mineen, that we should hold on to this deen insha'Allah and lead our lives. Not only profess but manifest it. Let us put it into action. Let us become true Muslims, inshallah. Amin wa akhiru da'wana.